Our speaker this evening will be Brother Sid Strickland. He has asked me to read from Micah chapter 4. Micah 4, verses 1 through 8. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, and the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem.
Good evening, everyone. Our remarks this evening we've entitled The Witness of Israel and the Glory to Come. And we're going to come back to Micah, the fourth chapter, here, these first eight verses that Brother Philip read. But first, let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, starting at verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this, and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, It is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. In the Old Testament, the word witness is derived from the Hebrew root ed, E-D, meaning to repeat or to reassert. This is similar to our usage today. The Old Testament word or its compounds are used primarily in two different ways. In the first use, witness means evidence or proof. For example, severe damage witnessed to the destructive force of the storm. In the second use, witness means the person who testifies. For example, the witness to the robbery took the stand. It's the first instance we see in relation to the nation of Israel. That is evidence or proof. Israel as a nation in the earth is the witness appointed by God, testifying to humanity, providing proof or evidence that he has a purpose with the nation of Israel and with the earth, and also that it will soon be consummated in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, we know he will set up on earth the kingdom of God. And one of the greatest signs indicating the closeness of Christ's return is the sign of the modern revival of Israel. We know that Israel did not come into existence with the support of its neighbors, quite the contrary, but in the face of extreme hostility and under constant threat of war and political annihilation. But we know God's purpose, and Yahweh has preserved them. The Jews, as a result of disobedience, have been taken into captivity from their homeland, driven from nation to nation, and subjected to bitter persecution for centuries. And Brother Herb was talking about this the other day. And yet they have survived and even revived as a nation. And we know this is all revealed in the pages of Scripture. We might ask a question at this point. Why has God preserved the Jew? Well, the Jewish people throughout history have been conquered, scattered, and persecuted. But even so, as a nation, they have been preserved. The Jews, as we know, were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Prior to that, they were conquered by the Assyrians. They were dominated by the Greeks, and they were scattered by the Romans. And interestingly, as we know, where are these great powers today? The Scriptures have evidenced the truth which declares, "All they that devour thee shall be devoured." Jeremiah 30:16. The Jews remain a witness to the truth of God's word. We know that the Jew hasn't been preserved by God because the Jew is any better or any worse than any other people. God does this for his holy name's sake. Yahweh will fulfill the solemn promise that he made first to faithful Abraham. We fully understand the significance of the promises made to the patriarchs and the relationship of these promises to the nation of Israel, which caused Jesus to declare in John 4:22, "Salvation is of the Jews." As we read in Deuteronomy 14:2, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." The Bible clearly teaches, "Thou, God, shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is indeed come, when the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory." Let's turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Picking up at verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. It behooves all who are interested in the future of their families and personal salvation to take heed to this fact, this building up of Zion, and to prepare for the coming of Christ and the monumental changes that will soon take place in the earth. God has set his seal upon Israel. They will not, as we know, be utterly destroyed. Yahweh has indeed constituted them his witness, and he calls upon nations everywhere to heed it. And reading again from Isaiah 43 in verses 9 and 12, we read, let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. This context calls upon all nations to witness the sign that God has placed in the earth as establishing the validity of the Bible and the confirmation of the prophecies that are revealed there, and Yahweh's plan to establish his rule upon the earth is also very clearly revealed. The extraordinary factors in relation to the revival of Israel illustrate and emphasize that the Most High indeed rules in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Let's turn to Daniel 4:17. A very familiar passage to us, Daniel 4 and verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. We know that this will culminate in God's grand purpose, as is clearly expressed in the familiar passage of Daniel 2:44, which has already been read a few times this week. Daniel 2:44, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and destroy all kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. One dominion, one religion, and one rule under Christ is the purpose for humanity as set forth in the Word of God. Israel, God's witness in the earth, testifies that the time of its accomplishment is certainly at hand. And let's turn to Zechariah, the 14th chapter. I think we'll find that many of these verses have already been read this week and probably be read again. Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Let's go to Acts, the third chapter, please. Acts 3, and here the Apostle Paul writes concerning the restitution of things. Acts 3, beginning at verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not, or I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restitution signifies restoration. And in the amazing marvel of Israel, the witness that God has placed before all mankind, we have a token fulfillment of prophecy, infallibly proclaiming that the time is at hand. Note the words of Scripture proclaiming the survival and the regathering of Israel in spite of great persecution as a result of their disobedience. Let's turn to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Jeremiah 30, beginning at verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. We want to look at a number of scriptures here relative to God's dealing with Israel. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that when the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. Let's go back to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Jeremiah 32, starting with verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Now, I'll give you a couple of other references. We won't take time to turn up, but Ezekiel 34, 13 through 16, and Ezekiel 38, verses 8, 12, and 16. But I do want to look at one last reference in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Ezekiel 36, verses 22 to 26. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. We know that the revival, the preservation and the revival of Israel constitutes God's witness in the earth. In 1947, by a vote of the United Nations organization, the Jewish state came into existence. The nations gathered to view the witness that God had established in the earth. Bible prophecy was indeed fulfilled. I can only imagine the excitement that brothers and sisters were feeling at that time when Israel was established as a state. While we're here in Ezekiel, let's look at Ezekiel 37 in verses 21 and 22. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. These verses here in Ezekiel 37 indicate three steps to the divine purpose. First, the regathering of the people, the revival of the nation, and the third step, the restoration of the monarchy. And the first two of these, the regathering of the people and the revival of the nation, have been partially fulfilled. I'd like to share an excerpt from Elpis Israel, from Brother Thomas, of course. And I think we're always astounded at the depth of his understanding of prophecy. And it wasn't because he was inspired. It was because he knew the Word of God. There is then a partial and primary restoration of Jews before the manifestation, which is to serve as the nucleus or basis of future operations in the restoration of the rest of the tribes after he has appeared in the kingdom. The pre-eventual colonization of Palestine will be on purely political principles, and the Jewish colonists will return in unbelief of the Messiahship of Jesus and of the truth as it is in him. They will immigrate thither as agriculturists and traders in the hope of ultimately establishing their commonwealth, but more immediately of getting rich in silver and gold by commerce with India and in cattle and goods by their industry at home under the efficient protection of the British power. And this, their expectation will not And in this, their expectation will not be deceived. For before Gog invades their country, it is described by the prophet as a land of unwalled villages whose inhabitants are at rest and dwell safely or confidently, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates and possessed of silver and gold, cattle and goods, dwelling in the midst of the land. Now, any person acquainted with the present insecure condition of Palestine under the Ottoman dominion must be satisfied from the testimony that some other power friendly to Israel must then have become paramount over the land, which is able to guarantee protection to them and to put the surrounding tribes in fear. And indeed, that was the case. This is all that is needed, namely, security for life and property, and Palestine would be as eligible for Jewish immigration as the United States have proved for the Gentiles. We await The third step, the restoration of the monarchy. Christ will be that king. We read in Luke, the first chapter, and this reference has been read a couple of times already, concerning Christ, Luke 1, verses 31 through 33. Luke 1, 31 through 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall deliver unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let's go to Jeremiah, the third chapter. Jeremiah 3 and verse 17. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. And we know that the kingdom will extend beyond Israel and will incorporate the entire earth. Let's turn to Zechariah, the 8th chapter. Zechariah 8, verses 20 through 22. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. And let's go to Isaiah, the second chapter, please. And read verses 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here is a wonderful message of hope for a divided and antagonistic world. And while it will first be purged of its wickedness through the judgments that will be executed by Christ and the saints, in time there will be a united world at peace with itself, and at peace with God. And nothing should deter us from participation in that wonderful event. With this backdrop of Israel as the witness of Yahweh, let's use our remaining time to explore the glory that's to be manifested in Israel and in the world in the age to come. Brother Philip read for us Micah, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Now, I'd ask you to turn there, please. We're going to be referring to it and considering in more detail each of those first 8 verses. This very clearly portrays the visions of this glory that we're referring to. In verse 1, we read, in the last days it shall come to pass. pointing to the time even now when Zion would be considered for good. The grand vision opens here before the house of Jacob, a vision of the glorious future by which the remnant will be consoled. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. This mountain, which his right hand had purchased, is that which shall be lifted up and exalted above the hills, a high mountain that shall never be destroyed. Let's go to Joel, the third chapter, and read verses 17 and 18. Joel 3, 17 and 18. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. We read, and people shall flow unto it. Those out of all nations shall flow to the seed of Abraham, in whom, as we read in Genesis 12:3, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All right, let's go back to Micah, fourth chapter, and look at verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the house of the Lord. There will be international repentance, and collective obedience will be the order of the day. And he will teach us of his ways. Man will turn from the pursuit of sin and will turn to God, who we know his way is perfect. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 in verses 30 through 32. And for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Man shall wait on the Lord and shall keep his way, as recorded in Psalm 37:34. We will walk in his paths, the paths of righteousness, as noted in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Men will respond and appeal to Yahweh, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We know that Jerusalem will become the universal center of law and order. The wickedness of the prophet Micah's day and throughout the history of man will give place to the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom, and all nations will accept the rule of Christ. Please turn with me to Isaiah, Isaiah the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then Psalm 72. Brother Aaron alluded to this psalm, which is a beautiful picture of the Lord reigning in the earth. Psalm 72, and just verses 10 and 11. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. We read in Micah 4:3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Christ will judge with righteousness, and judgment will be accompanied by rebuke for those who need it. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. The Prince of Peace that we read of in Isaiah 9:6. Shall speak peace unto the nations, as we learn in Zechariah 9:10. The work of righteousness shall be peace and quietness and assurance forever, as noted in Isaiah 32:17. He will make them to lie down safely. Let's turn to Hosea. Hosea, the second chapter, and verse 18. Hosea 2:18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And then Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. In Micah 4:4, we read, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid. This is another confirmation of the consistent theme throughout the Word of God, indicating a return to an agricultural economy and a freedom from oppression and exploitation. How do we know this is true? Because the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Please turn with me to Isaiah, the 65th chapter. We're all aware of the many verses that relate to the witness of Israel and the glory that is to come. And we're only touching upon a few this evening. Isaiah 65 and verses 21 through 23. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. In Micah 4:5, for all the people will walk, everyone in the name of his God. What a contrast is being drawn here between the ungodliness of Micah's day and the kingdom age. and we shall walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Micah is encouraging the faithful of his day to remain steadfast in the midst of a perverse generation, staying focused on the glorious vision of Zion. Micah 4:6. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth. And Micah witnessed all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd, halt and lame spiritually. The children of Jacob were even as Jacob, who halted upon his thigh, though they halted not as a result of contact with an angel, but because of the false prophets and the priests who had duped them. And I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. The flock of Jacob, driven out of the land, would be gathered again. And their affliction by Yahweh was designed to turn them back to him. And we read in Micah, the 6th chapter, Micah 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah 4:7. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. We know that there has always been a faithful remnant. As we read in Isaiah the 10th chapter, Isaiah 10 and verses 20 through 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of the land. And we're told that the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And then lastly, Micah 4 and verse 8, And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. And though Zion shall be plowed as a field, it shall yet become a stronghold. The titles Tower of the Flock and Stronghold of Zion are descriptive of Christ as the protector and defender of the flock. Unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom come to the daughter of Jerusalem. And while incorporating the restored nation of Israel, the kingdom will come to the glorified bride, the daughter, all glorious within, the wife who hath made herself ready, who shall reign on the earth. May we enjoy the blessing of participation as eternal servants of Yahweh in the kingdom that shall soon come. The earth will in the very near future be filled with the glory of God. The glories of the coming kingdom are beyond expression in simple words. And all the good that the heart can desire or the mind can conceive will be the lot of Christ's followers in that day and the subjects of their rule. It is summed up in Galatians 3:8. In him that is in Christ, again shall all the nations be blessed, for as truly as God lives, the earth shall be filled with his glory, as we read in Numbers 14:21. Christ's millennial reign is a means to an end, the final glory. The kingdom of God will bring all into subjection to Christ and to Yahweh. Thus he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. of which the last enemy, as Brother Aaron alluded to today, is death. Christ will destroy all evil in time, and the wicked will be destroyed and sin with all its effects, including death itself, will finally be no more. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 to 28. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. God's purpose in the earth will then be completed. It will be redeemed from all evil, and all its occupants will be immortal at that point in time, righteous and glorified beings, likened to Christ, who with him will forever inherit the earth. I'd like to close with a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. 1 Corinthians 2. And I believe Brother Pat used some of these scriptures the other night as well. 1 Corinthians 2, and let's pick up at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And one last reference, Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thank you.